seconds earlier today. I'm going to call to order a regular meeting for the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District for Wednesday, April 5th, 2017. May we have a roll call, please?
Director Hill?
Here.
Director Austin?
Here.
Director Schultz?
Present. Would you all please stand with us for the Pledge of Allegiance this evening? Please place your hands over your heart. Follow me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this point, we are going to take a look at the agenda as presented by staff and see if there's any changes that board members want to make to the agenda. Yeah. Would someone make a motion on moving forward with the agenda as presented by staff?
So moved.
Second.
There's a motion. There's a second. If there's no additional discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Nobody's opposed. Motion carries. So we're going to proceed with the agenda as presented. Garrett, I believe there are there extra copies of the agenda on the table.
Yes, there is. There are copies of both the agenda and the agenda packet.
Okay, very good. All right, let's move on to public comment. This is an opportunity for any member of the community to address the board for a period not to exceed 3 minutes on anything within the jurisdiction of this board. But please bear in mind that we cannot take action on any item that is not on the agenda. So please limit your comments to items that are not on the agenda. Please come forward.
Andrew Brunet, Oceano resident, OCSD board member. However, tonight my comments are strictly personal. First, we're all here acting in our roles and discussing the roles in which people are operating. You, the board, staff, us as public ratepayers, none of this is personal. I come to you tonight as a fellow elected official. I fully know and understand the responsibility and charge that you have sitting here. Your task is to do what is in the best interest of the district, your ratepayers, your constituents, your neighbors, all of us. Chairman Schultz, you had a great quote from March 2nd, 2016 meeting. I do have the ratepayers' best interest at heart. I also have to try and protect this district and do what I believe is fair, and so I know that will probably not always be the most popular decision sometimes. I hope you understand what I'm trying to do. And I'm not always going to be perfect, but I'm going to try to do what's the right thing to the best of my ability. And I believe you would probably say the same thing tonight, as well as I believe you, the board, are all here because your community members believe in you to represent them, to do the right thing, to be fair and just. We have two people that are on paid administrative leave for a misconduct probe, and that was as reported by the Tribune article on March 14th. I believe in two employees that I've spoken to that have said that they've never been written up, they've always had positive performance reviews, and they have done nothing so significant that would warrant being placed on admin leave or to be potentially terminated. In fact, on April 6, 2016, before the new district administrator started, these were the comments that were directed to Mr. Clemens, once serving as interim district administrator. Chairman Schultz, thank you for stepping up, and stepping out of your comfort zone. I know when you first suggested it, I was probably the hardest on you, as I knew the difficulty and challenge of the new role. We needed someone to step in and keep our projects moving forward. We thank you. Mayor Hill replied, I want to echo that and amplify that for stepping in and doing a great job. And then former OCSD President Mary Lucy stated, we do appreciate you at the Sanitation District. Thank you very much for your efforts. There were various public inputs of praise and thanks with rounds of applause on two separate occasions. Where we are at today, we do have projects moving forward, to be fair. That has happened over the past year. But there's been so much more. We have vastly higher legal expenses, vastly higher HR expenses. We have had employees file grievances. We have had nearly half the employees unionize. We have had significant exposure to litigation. We have had staff and management investigations, and now have two essential district employees placed on admin leave. All within 12 months since the district administrator took office. I was here at the December 7th meeting. One word that I had said, causation. There's one link between all these things. I've heard it expressed at this board that we need to move forward. What's done is done. Let's stop looking at the past. But you know what? Confucius said this, study the past if you want to define the future. And I'm wrapping up. We're at a crucial time for this district, a crossroads. This is on your watch. You will be remembered for what transpires at this point going forward. I implore you to evaluate this district with sober eyes and a clear, fair, and honest look. There is only one action that should be taken to save this district from where it's at and where it's headed. Do what's fair, do what's right, not only for your conscience, but for this district and all our communities. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Renee. Is there anyone else?
Hi, my name is Lindsay, and I'm an Oceana ratepayer. I want to remind the board at this time that Mr. Huebner's annual performance evaluation, here are the highlights from his employment agreement I would like to remind you of. This agreement between the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District, acting through the district, Board of Directors, and Garrett Hart Huebner. Whereas the district is committed to develop and promoting an effective and professional management team, including district administrators. Whereas the district administrators shall be an at-will employee and shall serve at the pleasure of the district. Employee commitments. The employee shall be subject to the direction and control of the district board of directors. I urge the board of directors to give Huebner direction on training how to effectively manage employees if they choose to keep him employed. Employees shall deserve district diligent and the best of his abilities in all aspects, and shall always act in district best interest in fulfilling its legal responsibilities as a county sanitation district organized under California Health Safety Code 470. I believe Huebner has not met this. Employment agreements, the district, the employee agrees to make significant time available to each member of the district board of directors each week and provide an opportunity to be briefed on the issues. I ask you, has Huebner met this requirement? The employee agrees to make significant time, I reread that. Mutual commitments, annual performance evaluations. The parties may choose an outside facilitator paid by the district to assist with conducting employees' annual performance evaluation. I urge the board to use an outside facilitator, especially with so many employee grievances against Huebner looming over this district. Thank you.
Thank you, Lindsay. Is there anyone else?
Leland Simpson, Grover Beach, resident and business owner. I have a unique insight into the administration of CARP, Administrator CARP, and Superintendent Clemens. They inherited a non-functioning plant, a plant that was breaking rules, costly rules. They as a friend of Paul Karp, I was, and by no means do I speak for Administrator Karp, but I was afforded a weekly tour and watched it over the course of months, half a year, transform itself into a plant that operated with the correct equipment, the correct biological functions happening. And that was completely Administrator Karp and Superintendent Clemens that I watched do that. Superintendent Sweet came in. Plant was beautiful. I'm not a financial guy. I just watched the plant. I'm a little bit of an engineer. It was beautiful. It was operating under Sweet. Under Administrator Clemens, the plant worked better than ever at a lower cost than ever, especially in the administration, legal costs, this and that. It's frustrating to watch things decline after such a skyrocketing performance. It's totally out of sync. What's going on right now? Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Krista Drain, Oceano resident. I'm here today as a ratepayer and request that a follow-up be done on the Knutson report. We paid for the investigation, and we deserve to know if the recommendations were implemented, and if they were, that if they're effective. There's a history here that we can't ignore and we can't repeat. You as the board are our voice. You're the ones that look after, you know, the our finances and everything. You're, you know, the oversight body. Are you going to ensure that there's good stewardship, proper stewardship of the funds of the district and sound management practices? Or are you going to ignore the warning signs and not look closely and question costs and ignore the hostile work environment that's now at the plant? If you do, this will only expose the district once again to financial, legal, and public trust issues. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Members of the board, my name is Colleen Kubel. I am a resident of Five Cities, so I am a ratepayer. My question, I have several questions for the board. Anything that this board does affects everyone in this district in the realm of sanitation fees. I just want this board to look to know ahead of time that the people's voice will keep coming back if it's not handled correctly, and I know that you will. At this point, I have had experience with admin procedures in the area of admin leave. I experienced it myself. And my question to this board is, do you think that Mr. Huebner has followed all of the required sections of your appeals procedure, section 7 A and B? To what the public knows right now, it doesn't appear to be that way. So I urge this board to check that out, because it appears that some of those recommendations or that are in your procedure manual are not being followed. And so, do you have evidence that he's followed these guidelines? Why weren't John and Amy told that they were placed on admin leave? It's not standard, but it is something that should be done. That's just etiquette. It's just the proper thing to do. Why were both of them notified in the same room at the same site at the same time instead of notifying them separately, which is a standard procedure due to confidentiality reasons? Why is this board willing to commit thousands and thousands of dollars that we as citizens will be forced to pay in rate hikes to place John and Amy on a paid leave while the plant is not being effectively run by Mr. Huebner or his associates? It appears that someone isn't looking at what's really going on, and this board really needs to examine everything that's coming before you. And at this point, the information that we have is nil. We don't have anything. They don't know what's going on. No one knows what's going on. We just know that there's a lot of money being spent that shouldn't have to happen. And to us, the public, it doesn't seem warranted. And we just urge the board to take a better look and do what's right for all of us, because that's why you were put in the positions you were in. Thank you very much.
Thank you for those comments. Is there anyone else?
Hi, thanks for having this meeting. I'm Joe Shacker, a ratepayer from Oceano. The last time I was here, and I don't come often, I apologize, John Clemens was trying to make a case where he could handle the whole thing himself. He wanted to be the administrator. He operated the plant cleaner and at less than 50% of the cost. I think it was pretty convincing. The board didn't agree, and I listened to that. Some of that I agreed with. So what's happened since? Well, when the plant administrator, the current one, first arrived, he met with neighbors. He was showing the conditions of the sanitation plant property outside of the fenced-in plant property. He was appalled at what he saw. He said he would address the issue and get the property cleaned up. Although access to the woods has been partially temporarily blocked, we have seen no action taken by the administrator. Woods along the outside of the plant cluttered with garbage, filthy bug-infected clothing, broken glass, spent drug needles, feces, maggot-infested food, and materials for future encampment construction is now there. I was just there last night. The recent rains have washed garbage and drug needles into the lagoon, which flows into the ocean. With these grounds drying out and the woods then becoming easier to access, more and more vagrants and homeless will return. The plant neighbors will then again be subjected to the baggage and activities that these vagrants bring along with them. Let's have the sanitation plant return to being a good neighbor. Clean up the grounds and block the access. Also, I encourage, and everybody probably here has read Cal Coast News. You don't have to believe everything Cal Coast News posts, but please go into the site and check it out. Five investigations eating up the cost of our money. When is this going to stop? It's not a cash cow for you guys. Let's put a stop to it. You hire professionals. Let's vet better now the next time we put a plant administrator in there. So that plant, and I don't know what's really going on, whether I should show darts at the plant administrator, but I know he didn't perform for us. He said he was going to and didn't. So all this other stuff's going on, the washing machine incidents, that's pathetic. The public is reading this stuff, and we have to hire somebody to investigate it. $20,000 here, $20,000 there, $50,000 there. We're really tired of that. We've been putting up for that many, many, many years, and it gets into the millions. We put up with that at the OCSD. We saw separate consultants. Every time a professional is hired, they feel the need to go out and hire a consultant. They can't do it themselves. If they can't, let's vet better so we can get the proper authorities in there so they don't have to spend all our money. That's all. I apologize. I don't know the ins and outs of washing machines and dirty laundry and all that stuff. But it's being posted. Thank you very much for hearing me.
Anyone else?
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker. And, you know, this is the first time you've had a full-time administrator, and you've had him for a year. His evaluation is coming, his annual. And I think it's time that the board actually look at the rationale behind having a full-time administrator and how that's working. The original rationale, and I have to say I was one of the citizens that was opposed to going to a full-time administrator. I thought you're a small district with a single purpose and that there really isn't that much someone could do that would warrant a 40-hour-a-week job at $150,000 a year. So here we are, $150,000 a year later, and what I've done is gone through his administrator's report and just looked at how much he's actually done for the district. And so when you go to the sewer bridge in Arroyo Grande, Garing Engineers is your consultant on that. The grit removal system, Michael Nunley is the consultant on that. The mechanical bar screen, again, Nunley. The redundancy projects is Kennedy Jenks, Nunley, Rickenbach. The postcard and the outreach has been outsourced to Jessica Mattson. The financing, the search for financing for the redundancy project is outsourced to Bartle Wells. The recycling facilities grant study, that's WSC. The control building and improvements there. You've had architects, consultants to do audits for myriad reasons, issues with the building. Capital projects, the digester, MKN, the records management, he's outsourced for that. I forgot their name. Human resources, we're back with another consultant, and we have a mediator. We have a law firm. You already have a law firm. Strategic planning, a consultant was hired for that. The auditors, of course, you want to hire for that, but we have Oh, there's another one. The IT, and the list goes on and on. The only thing that I feel that kind of came from Mr. Huebner's term here was the change in the website. And your board didn't direct that. That was a goal that had been previously in the works or in the hopes of the district. But
Julie,
Mr. Huebner,
your time's up.
I'm going to complete my sentence if that's okay.
That's fine.
Mr. Huebner did hire somebody to build a new website and in the process lost the tapes. The tapes of all the meetings of the Wallace years.
Your time
and
is up.
During the investigation is a very bad time.
Julie,
to lose.
Others have others want to speak.
Okay.
So please.
That's great.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Ron Holt, Arroyo Grande. I'm in a position to kind of uncomfortable to give Mr. Huebner a little bit of a tap on a little bit of a defense here. I know that Julie brought up a lot of things, and some of those things were not something that he could have handled. They had to be done by outside contractors, and he did bring some other things to the board that were of benefit. However, in general, she's right. When we had this discussion, the board had this discussion a year ago about hiring a full-time administrator, the idea for the justification for going from 20 hours a week to 40 hours a week was that they would have the ability and the desire to do some of the engineering and save some of this money spent on consultants. It doesn't seem to have happened. Mr. Huebner hasn't done I don't know the details, but looking at the results, I have to say that he's failed in employee relations. I'll let that go at that, but I also want to bring up one other thing that from the last meeting that I attended, when we were discussing Mr. Hill's, the investigation of Mr. Hill's alleged Brown Act violations, and after public discussion ended, our legal counsel gave you some advice, which I almost jumped up and I probably should have and said something about. And that was to allow to ignore the conflict of interest inherent in having a firm that works for us in one capacity to do the investigation of a board member. And I don't know. I assume that he knows enough to know that that's legal to do, but from an ethical point of view, it sure has every appearance of impropriety, and I think that should be something brought up when his review time comes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Holt. Is there anyone else?
Hello, Ron Arnoldson, Grover Beach. My comments are going to be something similar like Andrew's. They're going to be my personal comments. They're not meant to be an attack on any one person. They're just my views of what has been happening. My eighth grade teacher, Mrs. Goss, had two favorite sayings. One was, the empty wagon rattles the loudest. Pretty much can figure that out. The people that get up here and scream and yell the most probably are the less likely to have a brain in their head. The other saying is, a wise man changes his mind and a fool never does. So what I'm saying to you is if you get some information tonight and it seems to ring a bell and you have you've got your opinion set, there may be information to change your mind. I ask you, is this district better off today than it was a year ago? I say, I believe not. A year ago, the ratepayers that were here, and there were probably 20 or 15 or 20 at that time, we've been coming for 2 or 3 years now, were concerned in one thing, getting out of litigation with the water board. That was the main concern. We were pretty happy with everything else. Mr. Clemens was running the plant at that time. The plant ran very well. All the statistics were great. We were bringing in more money than we were spending, which is pretty unusual for this district, for its district's history. The employees were happy. They worked cohesively. They're satisfied with their job, with their supervisor. Fast forward to today. Our employees are reaching out for unions to protect themselves. We have two employees on paid administrative leave. They've never been told what their disciplinary action was. They've just been placed on administrative leave. The district is in jeopardy of operating without a licensed operator. The district administrator does not have a background in sewer plant operation or management, to my knowledge. Accusations concerning a board member have polarized our board. Needless to say, we are spending a lot of money on a bunch of different investigations. The district has a lot of projects that don't seem to be moving forward. It seems like our work project has been very nil for the last year. Redundancy is far from being implemented. The district has a trailer that's on the property that's been a boondoggle. It's probably going to have to move in, what, like a 2 or 3 more month period of time. It's just, you know, that's just been a boondoggle. This administrator is traveling the state on the district's dollar on issues that I believe do not pertain to this district. Can you draw a conclusion here? What's changed in the last year? Management? Lack of management? The first step in solving a problem is to recognize the problem, identify the problem. I think the problem here is very clear. The district manager is not a good fit for this job or for this district. I urge this board to direct this board of directors to seek new leadership. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
God, I can't tell if I'm testifying before Congress or the sewer board. I swear everybody wants to investigate everybody. They don't have time to do any business. My name is Mary Lucy. I live in Oceano, a past board member of the Oceano Community Services District. First of all, the lack of facts is just astounding to me. Mr. Huebner has extensive experience in water and in sewer and has ran the Ventura sewer plant for a number of years. So let's just stop with the BS. You know, I sat on this board and the bleed started happening when there was an interim administrator. There was a crisis every week, but we were saving money. Okay, so how do you save money? Well, you save it by deferring maintenance. And what happens when you defer maintenance? Guaranteed it's going to cost you about 70% more when it finally breaks and gets to a crisis state. So I want you to keep that in mind as past interims have come up and, you know, praised and bragged about all the money you saved. Well, let's see how much you feel that we're saving now. All those big, expensive subcontractors was brought to this board when there is an interim administrator. This administrator has actually come to this board for very little. The redundancy project, WSC, this ABS group that wrote the memos, that wrote the staff reports, that wrote all the correspondence, they all came from an administrator up north. The HR person had to come on because the interim didn't know anything about HR. So, you know, your anger is directed in the wrong direction and your timeline is really, really off. This administrator spends most of his time filling Julie Tackard's requests for public documents that she already has, but she just wants to time him to see how fast he can get out the door. Now, you have a meeting with the state. Who facilitated the fine? Did you facilitate the fine? Did you facilitate
Mary,
the fine?
Mary, keep your comments to us.
No. This administrator went to the state of California and was able to facilitate the fine. Okay, Mr. Hill even said that he met with the Water Quality Control Board and didn't get anywhere. So, you know, my hat's off to Mr. Scholes and Mr. Gerhardt for actually facilitating the fine that we had to pay from past problems. Who works with the Coastal Commission? The Coastal Commission had never even talked to the Sand District when we had an interim. Who works with the state? The state hadn't talked to the interim. You know, so your anger and your stuff has to be directed. This administrator does not call up the attorney and say, so let's do an investigation this week. No, there has to be a threat. There has to be a reason for an investigation.
I need you to wrap up.
There has to be a threat of litigation. So every time a disgruntled person, I'll wrap it up, has a problem, you have to order an investigation. So the anger really needs to be directed in the right places.
Is there anyone else?
My name is Dave Nicholas. I live in Oceano. And I just got to say, this guy had it all right. I just want to, right there. Thanks.
Thank you, Dave. Is there anyone else?
First time in my life.
Members of the board, my name is Shelley Cochran. I'm a resident and a business owner in Arroyo Grande. In the Knudsen report, it was stated, the plant superintendent has an important role in management and reports to and advises both the board and the administrator and is jointly responsible with the administrator in running the plant. Directors include one representative from each of the member agencies. The board of directors makes policy decisions with advice from district staff and the district administrator. Daily district management of the wastewater treatment plant and collection system is carried by the plant superintendent. The plant superintendent reports directly to the district administrator and the district board of directors. The plant superintendent and district administrator are jointly responsible for the implementation of the SSMP. Plant superintendent is also the designated staff member who is responsible for all wastewater collection operations, and it is his operator's license that is legally required in order to operate the Oceano WWTP. The new administrator has failed to recognize this role of the superintendent. Instead, the administrator has done his best to make the communication difficult or impossible for staff to speak out on issues that concerned them. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for those comments. Is there anyone else?
Well, after those comments, I would like to suggest we get Mr. Knudsen back to do a follow-up to see how we're doing. I had quite a bit here, but it's been gone over. Something that hasn't been mentioned, and I would like to remind the board of the sewage spill of 2010. We had an incredible amount of rainfall in 2010. The plant failed and was unable to prevent a disastrous spill of sewage that impacted Oceano and surrounding areas for a long time. The district paid out millions in fines and legal costs. Since John Clemens was hired in 2013, the plant has been brought back from the brink of bankruptcy and is running better than it has since 2002. He identified the problem areas at the plant, areas of potential risk in the future, and went to work with his fine crew and got those areas taken care of. He corrected them, which brings us to present day. We had way above average rainfall this last season. There was a lot of damage done in our area. Fallen trees and slippage, electricity out for days in some areas, and roads closed. At the South Sand plant, it was business as usual. No spills, no high numbers, no fines. Thank you, John and crew. I've watched this district closely for years now. The district has been in chaos under Huebner's draconian rule during the last year. Good people are in need of our support, and ratepayers must speak up and get our sewer plant back under the supervision of John Clemens. Administrator Huebner is a problem. He needs to go. We ratepayers will pay the price if this is not addressed. And this board is the only one that can address it. And I beseech you to do something about it.
Is there anyone else?
I'm Debbie Peterson, and I'm speaking today as a private citizen, and I hadn't intended to speak because, of course, being on the Grover Beach City Council, it's very awkward to come and speak when I'm not the representative to this board. However, when I see an ex-husband come forward, when I see a fellow council member, board member come forward, I'm actually ashamed not to speak. What we're seeing at the district today are the very things that led to Mr. Wallace's retirement, Mr. Knudsen's report, and Mr. Wallace's subsequent arraignment. We're seeing a culture of secrecy and fear, exclusion of directors, excessive legal fees, high employee turnover, public outcry, and I'm hearing from other people in the community asking what's going on there. Things were going so good. Why on earth did you put that guy on administrative leave? And there's one common denominator in the deficiencies then and the same deficiencies now. Mayor Scholes, that's you. You have the opportunity to turn this around. And I'm hoping that you'll take this chance to change history. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Patty Welsh, Arroyo Grande. John Clemens has worked at the Sanitation District since 2013 as plant supervisor. Why has the work of the digester not gone on? I've heard Mr. Clemens stand in front of AG City Council at the beginning of the year and say how he saved the district so much money since he's been running the plant. Where are you saving the money now, Mr. Clemens, when it is costing the district more than double what it would have if you had performed the maintenance on digester number one to industry standards? I've never heard him ask for money for this to be done during all the budget talks. And there is no blaming Mr. Huebner for your failure to do the basic maintenance on the digesters, since he has not been employed at the plant for even a year. We know the problems of the spill of 2010 and what that caused and what it cost this district. So just imagine if digester one had gone slightly more full or just stopped operating, what a mess we would have on our hands. We are damn lucky we made it through the winter without a problem, because I remember Mr. Clemens saying how he shut down the plant and then started it back up. He did this without the direction of the board or permission. Knowing how full the digesters are, he was taking a gamble with our district at the hands of the ratepayers. The digester should be cleaned every 8 to 10 years according to industry standards. When Mr. Clemens came to this plant right as the digester needed to be cleaned, yet he let it go for another 4 years without saying a word. What else has been being neglected? And do you feel that this is the type of person we want overseeing our district? There's no blaming Mr. Wallace, Mr. Seitz, Mr. Sweet, or Mr. Huebner. This is what John Clemens was hired to do, supervise the running of the plant. He has failed to do that and is now financially costing this district a lot of money. In fact, I see Mr. Clemens as another version of John Wallace, and I just think it's bad for the plant. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Dr. David Odle, Oceana resident, 19 years. I'd just like to get an idea of what we were paying like a little over a year ago to keep everything going and what we're paying now. It seems like we have all these consultants and legal fees and things. I just want to see why is that necessary? Where are the reports? I've seen things that people are saying things are going wrong. So where do we come up with all that info? It seems to be a bunch of hearsay. And how do I get a copy of what's been published and where the money is? Where is it going? They say I've been paying for 19 years. I'd like to see where my money goes. Thank you.
Thank you for those comments. Is there anyone else?
Shh.
Shirley Gibson, Halcyon. I appreciate it if the people in the back could be quiet while others are coming up here to give their opinion. I think that's only fair and considerate. One thing I worry about, since I go to serial meetings, I only started attending these meetings recently, but I've watched them on public TV for a long time. And when Mr. Sweet was the manager, he was also criticized roundly for several months, and then he, I don't remember whether he retired or moved on. The same thing happened in the city of Arroyo when there was a new city manager. She didn't make it, but I think 8 or 9 months. And she was critiqued almost from, say, the second month on, almost every meeting she was critiqued. And, I don't see that as a fair proposition to hire someone and spend a lot of money on whatever that entails for the district. And she did not receive a fair chance. And a lot of the same people that are here tonight, it's the same thing. It's this person's not the right fit. There's kind of different sayings, but you know, they're not good, they're not qualified, whatever. And I've seen the same thing with Mr. Huebner. He was being criticized early on, and I just don't see that as benefiting the district. Thank you.
Is there anyone else? Okay. Seeing no one come forward, I'm going to close this to the public and bring it back to the board. And I want to say thanks to everyone who's come in and made comments. I will just say that I think it was Mr. Renee who said earlier, quoted me, and I still stand by that position. We are certainly trying to do what is in the best interest of the ratepayers and get to the facts and get and let the facts lead us where they go. So I appreciate everyone coming tonight, and I think we've captured all the information, and we need to move on. Linda, did you have something? Or Jim, did you have anything?
The gentleman who asked about financial information of the district can find that on the district's website. Each of the agenda packages has the list of expenses for that billing period for the district, and then the annual budget information and expenses in the audits.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. And I would also encourage you to contact the district administrator. He can assist you as well. Okay. All right. We are going to move on, because we do have other items on our agenda tonight. And we have the consent agenda, which are items we take that are routine, that we take as a group. And we've got three items on the consent agenda tonight. One is 5A, which is the approval of warrants. The second is 5B, the financial review of February 28, 2017. And the third is 5C, approval of minutes of meeting of March 1st, 2017. Do any members of the board want to pull items from consent?
No.
No. Meeting.
Any questions?
Meeting of December 21st, and I do have some questions on the warrant numbers. Typically, we code the meeting date into the warrant numbers to avoid confusion. And this warrant register appears to have the dates coded for the meeting of March 1.
Okay. You want to get a response on that, Jim?
I'm not sure. I'm not seeing that. Where
on the under warrant numbers, the very first one says ABBA pump parts.
Yes.
And the fourth column says warrant number 030117. Mm-hmm. That's a date code for the March 1 meeting. And this is checking the first page, April 5th, so I would expect the code to be 040517. We've used that in the past to avoid conflict of duplicate numbers.
Okay, I see that. If that's the practice, that's something we missed this round. That's, of course, easily corrected in terms of changing that to the current date and then applying that to all the numbers.
Okay. Anything else, Jim?
I don't believe that would affect certainly the board's consideration of the approval of the warrant register, just with that change.
Then and under Bank of the West for training at a use conference, do we have any kind of record of the training, a certificate of completion or anything?
Yes, that's a training that I attended.
Okay.
That was registration that was made a while ago, obtained recently.
Okay. Once again, I note just the high legal fees in general on the warrant register.
Okay. We have no other questions. Let me open this up to the public and see if there's anyone who wants to comment on the consent agenda.
Chris Victorine, Oceana resident. And I just have some concerns I mentioned before about just questioning of costs. I realize that you're the oversight body and you can't, it's not practical to look at every invoice. But I don't think it's prudent to sign the warrant. And that's what you're signing when you review these and approve it. It says here, we hereby certify that the demands numbered sequentially from 1993 to 2057, or is it 67, together with supporting evidence that have been examined and that they comply with the requirements of the district. So to routinely approve this without any supporting documentation, there's the standard, we've always talked about legal, but the $10,000 a month, 10 employees, and now we're up to this, for this period, it's $18,000. I just think that certifying these without examining at least some level of supporting documentation isn't prudent or proper stewardship. I did have a question on the mediation. It just says phase one. I'm not familiar and don't recall at other meetings where I know we discussed or you discussed mediation, but I'm just wondering of the process and how it's going. Is it something that is going to work for the employees? Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Julie Tacker, I'll piggyback on that question that Chris just asked about mediation. I didn't know that there was going to be any mediation until I read it in one of those public records requests that I peskily asked for, such a pest. It was correspondence between Mr. Huebner and Mr. Hill. Mr. Hill asking questions about a mediator and Mr. Huebner's responses. So I would like to know when that direction was given by your board, and because those kinds of expenditures are supposed to be done in public. So I'd be curious when that began. I will be asking for the contract associated with this person, Robin Oakes, who is an attorney, and her bill is phase one, $2,256, which is part of the $18,000 total for legal bills, including the Liebert Cassidy Whitmore invoice and, of course, Wendy Stockton and Gilbert Trujillo. I've asked twice before about the history with Cassidy Whitmore and why you entered into a contract that was retroactive to May. Expenses didn't begin until August. I still would like that question answered. And then recommend that you get out of the litigation business. Talk about deja vu all over again. I would like to speak to the minutes. And I remember a long time ago now when Amy took a training, some kind of training, and she came back with action minutes. And she started to take out some of the comments that people brought to your board. And I recall, and maybe I'm mistaken, but I recall that you asked her to include the comments from the public. And it appears that that practice has come back since Mr. Huebner's been here, and my example is this set of minutes. So if I could get the Liebert-Cassidy question answered, I'd appreciate it. And then henceforth, could the minutes be expanded to include a more thorough expression from the public?
Is there anyone else? Okay, seeing no one. You've already addressed. This is the same item. I
forgot.
Is there anyone else that would like to talk to the consent agenda?
I'd like to ditto the comment that Julie made as far as minutes. It's, you know, if you're not going to put down what the conversation was about when someone speaks here, why even have minutes?
Anyone else? Okay, seeing no one come forward, I'm going to close the consent agenda, bring it back to the board. And Jim, I know you had brought up the question of the numbering, and I believe Mr. Huber had pointed out that could be taken care of. I did want to, I guess maybe to legal counsel with respect to the question on the mediation, which is shown here. And I think the difficult thing for us is when things have been discussed in closed session, it's really hard to share without violating rules and regulations. So we're going to try and give you as much information as we legally can. So it is on the warrant. So,
good evening, Chair Scholes and board members. Unfortunately, that information would fall under a privacy concern for employees' privacy rights, and I would be unable to provide any information outside of closed session to the board on this issue.
Okay. So, all right. Do you have anything?
On a different part of the subject from one of the commenters about having the backup documentation, I have asked for the backup documentation before signing these warrants, and as a typical practice, so I respect the idea of verifying the expenses.
Okay. Gerhard, did you have anything?
No. We hope you move forward with the consent agenda as proposed. As you know, the warrant register is how we pay our bills, and we would like you to move forward specifically with that item, as it's critical. As many of these, as you know, were under contract to pay these bills as they're stated.
Okay, very good. So we're at a point, is someone prepared to make a motion or not?
Well, I'll make a motion that we approve the consent agenda and with the approval of the warrants with the corrected date of the April date.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
There's a motion and a second. If there's no additional discussion, let's just do this as a roll call.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Chair Scholes?
Yes. Okay, we're going to move on to
Action items. This is item 6A, disapproval of minutes of the meeting of December 21st, 2016.
Thank you, Chair Scholes. This is a returning item. You know, as many of you know, this has been continued for several board meetings. This is being brought forth. These are the December 21st draft minutes. The issue that your board has faced in the past in terms of tabling these items is twofold. One, having a representative from Oceano that was comfortable or the representative being present to be able to act on the minutes. And then second, the issue of attaching letters to the draft minutes and the appropriateness of that. I won't repeat what I've said in the past, just that it's not a current practice of any of the member agencies, city or councils that I'm aware of. So with that, I'll turn it back to you.
Very good. Any questions from any board members or staff?
No, I have any questions.
Okay. Let me open this to the public. Is there anyone from the public that would like to address the item before the board?
I'm not sure if this is the appropriate time, but I hand-delivered a letter that I wanted put into the board packet or wherever you put those letters. I hand-delivered it to Mr. Huebner, to you, Mayor Scholes, and to Linda. I didn't get one to Jim. I didn't see him in between. I didn't know where to drop one off. So I would like to know if it's in there, why it isn't, how it needs to be delivered in order to get in there, or is that even possible?
Well, I thank you for coming up, Ms. Price, and the fact that you've given the letter to Mr. Huebner, you've entered and you've mentioned it tonight, is in the official record, and it is kept on file with the district.
But it's not published in the board packet? That's not... It's not in the board packet. That's where I thought it might be as okay. Correspondence.
So let me go to legal counsel. I'll give you my opinion, and it's not a legal opinion.
Shall I stay here?
Yes.
Okay.
Typically, when you have a letter, if you've given it to someone, it should be read into the record, not necessarily distributed in a packet. So, but let me go to the legal expert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair Scholes. The Brown Act requires that any document submitted to the board after the agenda has been published does become a public record. It is maintained by the district administrator, should be available for public inspection. It typically is not made a part of the agenda unless there is a reason why a certain letter should be made a part of the agenda.
This was before the agenda was published, before.
Well, I think the one you were talking about with me, you dropped off at the city council meeting on Monday night, if I'm not mistaken, which was after.
No. I delivered it to Mr. Huebner. I give it to Mike, I think.
Okay. So for correction, I've never actually met Ms. Price. She did not hand deliver it to me. I found out later that it was delivered. She delivered it to the admin building, and I received it at some point later that day. For the reasons we talked about, there's Ms. Price can certainly bring that, deliver that, and it becomes part of our administrative record. And we were in the process of publishing and putting together our agenda packet, but that's not, we didn't believe that's the appropriate place to put it at this time.
I asked
okay,
them
very
to
good.
Put it in there, and I see other letters in there
okay.
that are in the packet.
We'll note that. Thank you.
And tell me how I can get it in so it will be in the packet. What do I need to do?
So maybe you can discuss this with Mr. Trujillo and Mr. Huebner after the meeting. We can't sit here and have this back and forth tonight, but we are aware of the letter. You made mention of the letter. It is part of the public record. So I think really it's a matter of having that conversation, okay? I know.
It's not okay.
I'm not saying it's okay. It is not common practice, so I'm just trying to direct you so we can get some resolution for you, okay?
I would also like to know, and I think most of the people here would like to know, how they do attach a letter so it gets attached to the board pack. Because obviously this letter that I had written back on December 19th has been sitting in your minutes being waited to approve. I wrote one of the letters that's attached.
So your letter was actually presented to the board the night of the hearing, if my memory serves me correctly.
Correct. And that's the subject of this discussion, whether it's appropriate to attach that particular letter to these minutes.
I emailed it to Huebner on the 19th or
so. What is your name?
Lindsay.
Thank you, Lindsay. Okay.
So regarding action item 6A in the correspondence, I requested in your board packet in December 2012 or 2016, I requested the directors look into Huebner's actions as a manager and as, you know, as an administrator. It's very important that the administrator be able to administrate and manage employees effectively. I think that there have been numerous complaints filed against him, and that shows a problem. That shows a repetitive pattern that keeps happening. You know, the Knutson report did state.
Lindsay, I'm sorry, I don't. The item before us is the actual minutes, and we're not discussing the merits of what was in your letter.
Well, I think that's exactly why it hasn't been approved, is because you guys are determining whether you're not or not you're going to attach it to the minutes.
No, okay, that's not the question before us. But your letter is on, the letter was received on December 21st, and it is available, as it said by the attorney, that if someone wants to come in and see the letter, we have it, the district has it on file.
So yes. The minutes from December 21st haven't been approved because?
It's a question of do we get into a practice of attaching letters to minutes, or are they included as a form of reference? As Mr. Gearhart said earlier, it is not a typical practice for jurisdictions to attach letters to minutes. Okay. And that's really what the narrow thing we're discussing tonight. Okay.
Julie Tacker and I also had a letter that I've asked be attached to the minutes. What I think is, this goes back so far and has been before you so many times, I'm not sure when to pin the tail on the donkey, but the fact is your board directed Mr. Huebner to attach the letters. The subsequent meeting, when the minutes came back, the letters were not attached. So then came this whole other argument about this jurisdiction doesn't do it and that doesn't do it, and do we want to set a precedence or a practice? The real fact is, Ms. Lucy got miscellaneous correspondence, and her letter was in there, in the board packet. Three of us responded to that letter in writing before the meeting. So while hers got airtime in the packet, I believe the three of our letters should also get that airtime in the following packet as part of the minutes. And your board directed your staff to do it. He didn't do it. And when it was brought to your attention, then became the, ooh, we shouldn't do this, or maybe we should. Let's take it on a case-by-case basis. And the fact is, your board directed that they go in the packet. They go with the minutes. Be approved with the minutes. Stick to what you directed. Maybe next time. Maybe it's Mrs. Price's letter next time or some other time. Maybe you come back with a real policy. But that case, this case, was the board had given direction. See that it gets followed through with. Approve the minutes and move forward. This has gone on for 4 months.
Is there anyone else? Okay, seeing the one come forward, let me close this to the public and bring it back. And for those who are new, the discussion has been, do you attach letters to minutes? That is not a common practice. It is not a best practice. And yes, there was initial direction, and I took responsibility because when it came back, I had rethought it and realized that that is not done on any other board that I know that I'm aware of. The records, the letters are part of the public record by reference. They are referenced in the minutes. They are available for people to take a look at. So that is what we are discussing, and that is what we are taking action on. These minutes have gone on for months because one the board member who was Yoshino representative who was at the meeting, and I'm not going to speak for her. I know that there's been some, well, she has not been there. So the Oceano rep that had come was not comfortable voting on the minutes because she was not part of the meeting and had not gone back and looked at the tapes. And that's why this has continued to be moved back. And so tonight we have all three members who were present the night of the meeting, so we can get some resolution tonight. Okay. And if I'm wrong, someone feel free to jump in and add whatever. Okay.
Well, are you ready to?
Yeah.
Okay, well, taking into account everything that's been said tonight, I want to make a motion that we approve the minutes of December 21st, 2016, and continue with the practice that everyone else does and not put the letters, not be attached to the minutes, and state that they are a part of the record that is at the district and they are available. I mean, if anyone hasn't seen them, they're here right now. They can look at them. But I want to make a motion that we approve the minutes with the letters, with those three letters not attached to the minutes.
Okay. And I'm going to second that because the minutes do show that the letters were received. So they are officially in these minutes. So there's no effort to try and hide these letters. They're in the minutes. And so anyone who would like to see them can certainly contact the district and get copies of the letters. So there's a motion. There's a second. If there's no. Yes, Jim.
I think we've seen, first of all, I have a concern about the motion as it's made because I don't believe whether or not letters are attached to agendas was properly on the agenda. Only the consideration of these minutes per se is on the agenda. That being said, the issue was highlighted, I think, by Ms. Price as one of the comments that she had submitted a letter timely with the intention of having it placed in the board packet as the original letter that caused the issue here was put in a board packet. So what I'd like to see is consistency one way or the other, and it's obvious that we have not achieved that. And so I will continue to oppose this item, but I would strongly suggest that we properly agendize a policy for this and move forward with it.
And thank you for those comments, and I agree.
So I agree, we need too.
Yeah.
We need to have a.
And I think that is a matter of having that discussion to talk about how does someone include a letter that is part of a packet. That is not subject to the minutes that are before us. So with that, with the roll call vote.
Is there a deadline that people, like with Patricia Price's letter, she brought it, you know, in time. So what is the procedure when someone brings a letter? Is there, that's, in, you know, not the night of the meeting, but if you have time to put it into a packet, is that what we do not have, the policy?
Well, I think if I can weigh in.
Yes, I
think there is perhaps a bit of inconsistency or not clear guidance on how that occurs in some other entities they submit. Typically, it's letters that are specific for an item that's on the agenda. When you get, let's just say, miscellaneous correspondence, part of the dilemma is how do staff synthesize that information and provide a response. In some of these cases, these letters come in, and there's no ability for us to either synthesize the information, react, or give you guidance on the content. So that's part of the dilemma when correspondence or information comes forth. Also, you want to be careful that this board and this agenda packet doesn't become necessarily a forum for certain interests or issues that may or may not be relevant to this entity.
Okay. great. Thank you.
Okay. So I think it's pretty clear. We've got a motion. We've got a second. I think we've also got a little bit of direction in there to get some consistency. I think we're in agreement with that. So let's do a roll call.
No.
Yes.
Yes. So, all right, let's move on to item 6B. This is the purchase of crane for a flatbed truck. Mr. Huebner.
Thank you, Chair Scholz, board members, members of the audience. Gerhard Huebner, this is item 6B. This is approval or request for approval to purchase a crane for the district flatbed truck. The current crane used at the district facility is approximately 15 years old. We do use it on a daily basis or semi-daily basis to lift materials that otherwise would have to be carried by the stairs, for example, at our headworks. The equipment is getting old. We've had some issues even with this crane stop rotating counterclockwise and having to use override buttons. We did see this piece of equipment on a repair schedule. We did budget for it under fiscal consideration. You'll see budgeted $20,000. We did solicit quotes. We've included those two quotes in part of this agenda item. We did receive a quote from Industrial Truck Bodies that is under the $20,000, $19,400. We also evaluated the quotes. We wanted to make sure that just because we got the low bid, that we would still get the capacity, the type of crane that would be necessary for our district operations and our district operators. We believe both quotes do that. So, of course, we would be recommending the lower price, and we do have sufficient budget to purchase that. So it is our recommendation that you consider and approve to purchase a replacement crane for the district's flatbed truck in the amount of $19,401. That concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for that. Any questions of Mr. Huebner? Linda, any questions?
I don't have any questions. I just am supportive of this purchase. I went out today and took a look at the crane, and it definitely is needs replace, especially for the safety. So I'm all in favor of making this purchase.
Okay. Jim, any questions?
I just note the purchase policy says over 7,500, but over 45,000.
Should be an under. That's a typo.
Okay, thank you. Yes, I would entertain public comment. And then,
Okay, very good. Is there anyone from the community that would like to address the item before the board?
Julie Tacker and, I'm up here at the wrong time. I'm here for the digester. So go get your crane.
Actually, I'd like to make a comment. Looks like a great use of money. Litigation, mediation, investigations. That sucks.
Okay. Anyone else?
Mr. Kibir, how old is the current crane that you have in the yard? I didn't catch that. I'm sorry.
Information I have from staff is that it's approximately 15 years old.
15, and typically standard, they replace every 15, every 20?
I don't have an answer for that. I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? Seeing no one come forward, let me close it and bring it back to the board. Is anyone prepared to make a motion on this item?
Move approval of the staff recommendation to purchase the crane.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. There's no additional discussion. Roll call.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Chair Scholz?
Yes. Okay, we're going to now move on to item 6C. This is a request for a proposal to clean the primary digester number one and allow the district administrator to proceed to execute a contract for digester cleaning not to exceed $380,000. So, Mr. Huebner, staff report, please.
I'll have it up for you in one moment. Okay. good. Thank you, Chair Scholes, board members, members of the audience. This is item, as you mentioned, item 6C, a request for proposal to clean the primary digester number one, allow the district administrator to proceed to execute a contract for the digester cleaning not to exceed $380,000. So I do have a PowerPoint presentation for you. It does follow the staff report. Hopefully it will facilitate some discussion. I'm looking at the AB, our video, to make sure that they're ready to go. And since I can't see what's happening behind me. So you do have a staff report on this item and one attachment, which is the draft opinion of probable construction costs. I also want to mention we have John Hanlon from Michael K. Nunley and Associates in the audience who will be available to answer any questions you have on this.
Okay, very good. So hopefully we can get a PowerPoint up on the screen.
I promise I didn't do anything.
Do we need to take a 5-minute break to? You need some time?
Yeah, if we could.
Okay, so let's take a 5-minute break.
Sorry about this.
No.
It was working earlier. I thought you just turned the screen dark.
I thought I did. So I went to screens.
Thank you. So you're going to make this change.
They sent the posse after to make sure you weren't hurting Clemens. Yeah, they're all running back there. Oh, Amy and the other
and
Patricia,
sorry,
they all ran
who made
back.
The motion,
they thought you were
the last.
Start. Yeah, they're all ridiculous. Poor Clemens.
I think Jim made the motion. Was that the friend?
I'm going to reconvene the regular meeting for the South San Francisco County Sanitation District, and I believe we were on item 6C, and I want to turn this back over to Mr. Huebner for a staff report.
Thank you, Chair Scholes. Again, Gerhard Huebner. I'm not going to go through the title slide again. Just jump into the background. This PowerPoint presentation follows the staff report, which was part of the agenda packet. So the district operates two anaerobic digesters, or digester number one has a capacity of 750,000 gallons. It's the larger of the two. Partially buried concrete tank, steel cover, diameter 70 feet, slope bottom. Digester number two is a 60-foot diameter steel digester. It said smaller capacity, about 420,000. So a little bit of process on how we utilize the digester. Wastewater and sludge enter the digester number one, where it's heated and mixed. Supernatant from digester one is then transferred to the digester number two, where sludge settles. Supernatant from number two then goes to back to the headworks. Digester number one was last cleaned in 2005. Digester number two cleaned in 2009-2010 timeframe. And when I say last cleaned, completely cleaned in 2005. It's a standard practice in the wastewater industry to clean a wastewater facility digesters or digesters every 8 to 10 years, more frequently with facilities with limited primary screening or grit removal. As you recall, this was the case with the district until the completion, or when it completed its grit removal system and became operational January of this year. Digester number one, so I'm going to go through some of the rationale, need for the cleaning of the digesters, is way overdue for cleaning. Should have been done in 2013, if you follow the timeline that I just presented. As a result, the supernatant line from digester one to digester number two is clogging more frequently with rags and other debris. This clogging and inability to move the solids can affect the plant, wastewater treatment plant, in several ways, as I'll just outline in the next slide. Resulted in increased staff time during normal work hours to clear the digester, supernatant line. We have increased overtime hours to respond to alarm call-outs. You'll see the list of call-outs in our operation report, which are part of item 6E. We also reported at a past board meeting some of these call-outs in the superintendent's report. The inability to maintain the primary clarifier sludge blanket at appropriate levels. The blanket was measured at 76 inches. Appropriately, it should be at 2 to 3 feet. You can also get increased effluent total suspended solids concentration. As you know, we've had that issue in the past with some violations. You also can get less effective chlorination due to increased solids in the chlorine contact chamber, potentially leading to increased chemical costs and increased chance of fecal coliform violations. So these are potential issues that can arise with issues in your digesters being full. And that follows that failure to clean the digester in a timely manner could increase cost of operations and can lead to a greater chance of the NPDES permit violation. This is the permit, as you know, we operate from the State of California Regional Water Quality Control Board. Therefore, in my opinion, and the opinion of the staff, is that this is a vital issue that the district must address immediately. I want to point out when digesters are cleaned on a more frequent basis, not only the problems listed above avoided, but also the cost of cleaning can be more reasonable. So, for example, a typical digester clean-out is estimated to run $100,000 to $150,000. That's not just my opinion. That's an opinion I've gotten from several professionals. If you look at the 2013 CIP list that was generated at that time, that's approximately what was listed on that form at that time. So, as I mentioned, recently, staff have been increasingly concerned with the functionality of digester number one and its ability to operate and process solids. One reason for the increased costs is also due to the availability of on-site space at the district facilities to allow the digester materials to dry. So the sludge material we utilize, we either utilize our centrifuge or we utilize the drying beds or sometimes a combination of the two. We currently have 8 drying beds with a capacity of 30,000 gallons apiece, 240,000 gallons total. Fortunately, then, if you look, we have 4 of the 8 drying beds already called for in the near future, leaving only 120,000 gallons available to dry digester debris for a digester cleaning project. Our contract engineers for this project, MKN Associates, have estimated that we need there's approximately 2,281 yards of debris, or equivalent to 154,000 gallons of debris, are retained in the digesters. So therefore, we have insufficient space on site to dry the debris. Therefore, hauling and processing costs are more expensive than if the debris was allowed to be dried on site. So we have twofold problem. One, the digesters are full, and we do not have sufficient space on site to dry the material. Thus, we have to do something else. Furthermore, the delay in cleaning the digesters means digester number two, so this is the smaller of the two digesters, now has more debris in it as well. So when digester one, so if you follow this hypothetical, if you remove number one from service for the cleaning project, which you must do, you must rely on number two solely to digest sludge from our wastewater that we receive. Number two also likely has grit and rags within it. When heated and mixed to serve as the sole digester for the plant, this debris from number two would need to be processed and thus sent to the plant super to our centrifuge. Now, the centrifuge, again, is to dry the material and prepare it for hauling off-site for compost. Unfortunately, when you got rags and debris, the material and such things as grit, it causes excessive wear on the district's existing centrifuge, resulting in increased maintenance and possibly failure. So we want to avoid that. Certainly don't want to try to fix one problem and create another with costs that would result. So you'll see in a companion item, not on this item, but the following item, we are also recommending a rental dewatering centrifuge be acquired while Digester 2 is solely in service. So how did we get to this stage to a certain degree? I mentioned, of course, that this is on or should have been done on an 8 to 10-year time frame, identified in 2013 in our CIP and replacement schedule. Also in December of this year, district staff and our consultant, John Hanlon, in fact, myself, became concerned with the structural integrity of digester number one, meaning the concrete that encases that digester and possible failure of that integrity. We took multiple discussions with MKN at that time. I had them draft some proposals for two phases of work. First phase was to solicit service through a request for bids and preparation of specifications for cleaning out of the digesters, which has now been completed. And then second phase will involve, after clean out, an inspection and structural survey to determine the digester's structural integrity. So can't get in there until it's cleaned out and determine if there's issues and what remedies. So that, as part of the second phase, will be recommendations. And any recommendations, of course, we'd come back to you with if any repairs need to be incurred and how to fund them. So the project description consists of removal and disposal of any sand, grit, screening, sludge, floatables, anything that really comes into our treatment plan and has been encapsulated in that digester. Hosing out the interior, the walls, the ceilings, the floor. They're also going to look at the pipe system, interior, the overflow box, the return pipe. They'll provide all the necessary labor materials to clean the inlet and outlet pipe inside the digester up to a foot beyond the exterior wall or to the extent feasible. Consists of removing debris and other adhered material from the interior and exterior of the pipe or structure and then disposal. Some of the fiscal considerations. So at the time of the drafting of the fiscal year 2016-17 budget, cleaning of the primary digester was not identified as a specific need or project and therefore was not included in the adopted budget that your board approved back in June of last year. So we looked to see within our existing budget structure how to pay for this primary digester within this fiscal year. For fiscal year, we propose to utilize $201,200 for Fund 20 for our AG Sewer Bridge Repair Project. I know this has been a project that we've been working on for a while. I'll describe more of this in our district administrator report. It is essentially getting ready to go out to bid, but we do recommend at this point to perhaps defer that to the fall or next fiscal year so we can utilize those funds for this critical project now. We also recommend $178,800 from the Fund 20 fund balance. We do have funds that reside in that account, and we feel it's appropriate to utilize them for this specific project. If approved today, the district anticipates project startup by June 1st, taking 30 days to complete. So therefore, it may extend into the next fiscal year. We may need to actually put money in next year's budget to account for that. But as a prudent measure today, I wanted to put the full amount, if you were to consider and approve this today, that we could execute a contract and any expenses occurred, we would be able to pay in this fiscal year. In conclusion, staff believes this is a very important and critically vital project, the cleaning of the digesters. As I mentioned earlier, digester number one is way overdue. Number two is due now or should also be considered, be performed without delay. Additional delay may result in increased operational costs and greater chance for fecal or total suspended solids violation. We are recommending that to allow this project proceed on an expedited basis with the release of the request for proposal that has been prepared and authorization to proceed with awarding and executing the contract with the lowest qualified bid proposal up to $380,000. I do want to caution that $380,000, based on the best professional engineer estimate, based on what materials may be contained in there. If there are more, the cost could go up. As a prudent measure in any public works contract or bid, you do put out an estimate so that we at least have a fair basis for determining when these bids come in. So with that, we have a staff recommendation similar to what I mentioned. It's the same listed in the staff report. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for that staff report. Let me see if there's any questions. Glenn, do you have any questions?
Not right now.
Jim?
I recall this being at least hypothesized at the beginning of this budget year. Somehow this didn't make it into the current year budget.
I had discussions with our plant superintendent at that point. If you recall, I was on the job approximately a month, 6 weeks. I forwarded any of those recommendations that went into the budget. And I don't recall this specifically being discussed at the board level, but I could be wrong.
And then I guess I'm concerned with the sewer bridge project being a trade-off for this, in that the sewer bridge project has been under years of ongoing delay, and the letter at the end of the agenda states what the Fish and Wildlife permitting has come to, and there's a time limit on making the repairs to the sewer bridge. So I'm concerned that if we delay that project into the next fiscal year, we may have challenges meeting the timeline to make those repairs.
I share your concern, Director Hill. I was hard-pressed for me. This is one that I wanted to march to the finish line, yet we have, even if we were to release a contract and a request for proposal and a bid, we likely won't get expenses for the sewer bridge until July timeframe, maybe the August timeframe, which would then float into the next fiscal year. I've heard that to do this project, it would take roughly 30 days. If we had a September 1st start date, we could complete it by the October date of the permit. Alternatively, we could ask for an extension on the permits. Or alternatively, we're certainly amenable if there's other projects or funds that you'd like us to access to support this. We're not wedded that this has to be money coming from the sewer bridge repair project. It just seemed it was a large line item and could support this expenditure. So again, we're open to other ideas if you want to essentially take money from a different pot, but
possibly reserve funds or
certainly.
Anything else?
That's it.
Okay. So when you're talking about deferring to the next fiscal year for
the sewer bridge repair, you're looking more and after, obviously after July 1, which is the start of the next fiscal year, correct?
Correct. Okay. It would be included in next year's fiscal budget, and we would actually have a revised cost estimate at that time, whether it was 201 or it was higher or less. It is essentially a little bit of an accounting and budget exercise. I mean, you look at how our money and flow comes in. I'm trying to operate within the budget stand framework and blueprint that the board adopted and look how to utilize money, not asking for any changes. Essentially, that's my experience and how, if we can accommodate that, that might be the best practice. But certainly, you have the option of utilizing the reserves that we set aside or one of our fund balances. We have, as noted in the fiscal review, we have over $5 million in fund balance right now in our various accounts.
What's the balance in our in the reserve account? Do you have that number?
Oh, roughly, it was in the 200, 250. I don't have that specific okay. number, but that's what I recall. It was based on the formula of the previous year's expenditures.
That's correct. Okay, thank you.
Can I ask?
Yes.
Do you know how many more projects that are coming up in the future, in the near future? Is there anything else that's going to be a deferred maintenance type thing that we need to take care of?
Well, one of the things that I want to undertake in the near future is updating that 2013 CIP list and replacement list, and that will guide next year's budget blueprint. In terms of things on the horizon, you know, we'll have to look and see how our centrifuge is doing. There's some issues that may need to be addressed. We may need to put money into our admin building. Again, I don't have a cost, depending on what the assessment or audit comes out with. And then certainly we don't know what will come out of the assessment of the structural integrity of the digester. So there will be a few capital projects, certainly.
So do you say that your contract not to exceed $380,000, but you just said the structural integrity, so that could that be something that will come up during the cleaning time? That would be a major expense?
It will be. You'll see recommendations. You'll have an assessment report and recommendations on what needs to be fixed or repaired. And that will have to come as a separate funding initiative to this board, likely through next year's budget cycle.
The sewer bridge repair job, if it's deferred, is there any problem with, say, compliance problems or anything with the state if that isn't done by a certain time?
There's no mandate to do that project. We just, of course, it's an anti-corrosion type project in the sense that we don't want it to fail, leak. It's over a sensitive water body, the AG Creek. The initial assessment shows that we don't have to do a complete rehabilitation and recoating of everything. We'll be able to do some spot.
So,
but
okay.
Okay, if there's no additional questions, let me open this up to the public. Is there anyone that would like to address the item before the board?
Now it's my turn. First, let me say that I support the work. And while you're in there cleaning, if you come across any diamond rings, they're mine. Okay. So something occurred to me when he talked about the grit and the rags and the sort of the cause of what's going on there. I'm grateful that we have a grit removal system online now. And it seems to me that because that's online now, makes more sense to do the work now so that you're not filling it back up with gritty, raggy, messy material. So I think the timing is good from that aspect. I do recall talking about Digester One in the past, and
went to some old board packets and found in March of 2015 that Katie DeSimone at the Water Board had even been notified that the cleaning was beginning. As recently as what Mr. Huebner, I was there on a tour in what, October, there was a partial cleaning, I guess, because it was kind of a stinky day. And then after the March 15 notice to the Water Board that the cleaning was going to take place, if you'll recall, you guys were all there, the big inflow pipe from Oceano was discovered to be leaking and had to be resleeved, and that was a huge expense, $350,000 or so. I find the comments that were in public comment about the digester from Ms. Welsh only ironic that she was at those meetings too in 2015. I share Mayor Hill's concern about the way that you're planning to finance this, because with regulatory agencies, you do not want to get into a cat and mouse with the Fish and Wildlife Service. And you do not want to do any work in the wet season, and they won't let you. So I would like to see that both projects move forward. There's a design element to the sewer bridge that needs to be completed before it can go out to bid. So if there are reserves or contingency funds of some other kind, I think that is prudent that you look somewhere else and proceed with both projects.
Is there anyone else?
Patty Welsh, ratepayer. If it was partially cleaned out, was the digester brought down to the 24 to 36 inches that were mentioned by Mr. Huebner? I think if you're going to do something, do it all the way. Let's not halfway unclog a toilet. Let's unclog the toilet. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
So it was discussed in 2015, and the work was started on the clarifier, I mean the digester one, correct, Mr. Huebner? Is that what was stated, that the work was started and then the pipe broke, which was all work was stopped, but the pipe was done by a contractor, wasn't done by plant staff. So I'm wondering why the work was stopped in 2015. I just need a quick answer to that. Also, too, is there any permits that will be needed for this project? So if we had, I'm concerned that we're going to start having more and more crises, and we're not going to have a reserve, and I don't know how to properly assess what's going to break next because it's been put off. So is there some way of assessing, having a list of, you know, is it a high priority, low priority, medium priority, you know, because I remember when Mr. Guerrero was at the table, there was a crisis with the clarifier, and that's kind of what the redundancy project started out of, and then a staff report was requested, and the staff report was never provided. So I don't even know where, what, I know what happened, but I don't know if it was ever rectified. So that's one crisis. The pipe breaking, you know, come from sewer lines coming into the plant from all areas. That was another one, and now we have a third one. So we have to be able to figure out what's a high priority, medium priority, and low priority. And then my last question is the sewer bridge, is it a cosmetic thing or a needed fix? So where would it be on the priority? Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
A couple of quick comments. Ron Arnoldson. Pretty much the sewer plant's like everybody's home. If you got the money and time, you fix it. We're arguing over money here, so obviously that is one of the concerns about moving forward on this. I know I can remember listening to the plant manager's report in Oceano, and he had a concern about the this digester. And so we've been meeting here for a while, so I know that that was in the, you know, that was on his thoughts at that point. So, you know, all these things are projects that we need to get moving on, and some of the stupid things we've been doing, we need to get away from. Litigation, investigations, et cetera. Let's get our work projects taken care of. And the only way we can finance them is they have to be prioritized. That's right. And so that's what needs to come before this board, not litigation and et cetera.
Anyone else?
Ron Holt. When I first became interested in what the goings-on here in the sanitary district a couple of years back, I took a tour of the plant with a bunch of other people, with Mr. Clemens escorting us and showing us around. And at that time, he made the point that this is one of the things that needed to be done and was fairly enthusiastic about it. I don't know why it didn't get done. I think that's something, you know, maybe there's a problem in the communication section or something, but I don't think we should be going pointing fingers unless we actually have some evidence. It could be, it may be the board, it may be one, you know, Mr. Huebner or previous administrator. I don't know what's going on there, but I don't think that fingers should be pointed on that until somebody's got some evidence. Second thing is regarding the prioritization of fund sources for this. I don't know if it's possible to maybe split some of the sewer bridge funds out and wait till the second part of the year for the actual construct or the actual work done, and maybe take all the build-up stuff and get going on that now, so that when the fiscal year comes, we have everything in place, so we don't have to end up pushing the limits of the fish and game permit and having to ask for delays and things like that. But maybe that we could use a little bit from the sewer bridge and a little bit from the reserves and come out some way on that. Thank you.
Thank you for those comments. Is there anyone else? See no one come forward. Let me close and bring it back to the board. Gearhart, do you have anything else you want to add?
Well, you know, I'm of mind, if certain things come to be a priority and there's a definite need, I usually go to bat with staff or any type of recommendation. My operating thing is not to let things get to a crisis, to be proactive. That's my training and by education. So I just want to make that statement. In terms of a couple questions that Ms. Lucy had, yes, there was a partial, my understanding, talking with some of the veterans in 2005. It was stopped partial way. There was the pipe replacement, which was also an emergency effort. There was a question about the sewer bridge, whether it's cosmetic. It's not a cosmetic. It is a maintenance project. It is to make sure that it stays, that we don't have to wholesale replace it someday, that we prevent corrosion from occurring or any spill coming from that. So I think that's the comments or clarifications.
Any permits required for this project?
Certainly not from Coastal. That when I've talked to them, this is a routine maintenance and nothing from the county. I'll double check on that, but this is considered routine maintenance.
Okay, and I do believe there was a discussion regarding a long-term, either a capital plan or there were some things that were looked at and mm-hmm. and Ms. put timeline.
Ms. Sweeney, when she came on to the plant in 2013, she conducted that work. And that would be some of the work that we would have her help us look at okay. into the future.
Very good. So I really appreciate Mr. Holt's comments. I know he's been coming for a while, and I've always found him to be someone that is genuinely looking for facts and information. And I think he made a really good suggestion regarding how to fund this work, because clearly this is work that it's a vital issue that must be addressed immediately, and we need to move forward.
So I know that, Garrett, you were trying to be prudent and putting forth that idea, and we appreciate that, and the board obviously will either take that recommendation or make some modifications. So I would say, actually, my first thought would have been, this seems to be a project that is perfect for our reserves, but given the fact that we're just now trying to get that reserve fund up, maybe there is a way to split it out and move this project forward and do some of the initial work on the bridge project. Jim, you have any thoughts?
Well, I certainly agree that both these projects are important projects to move forward with. I agree with the critical need of the digester work. I'm concerned with the letter that we got from Fish and Wildlife on March 7th, where within from May 14th, 2015, when we made the submittal, to December 28th, 2016, they deemed our notification to work on the bridge complete. They had until February 27th of this year to submit an agreement, but did not do so. So therefore, we're in do-it-at-your-own-risk land, but do-it-at-your-own-risk land involves completing it within a time frame before October 15th of this year, and completing it within the proposed term, that's October 15th, and seasonal work period, subject to bird nests and Endangered Species Act concerns, water pollution, and fish passage. So not being an expert on fish passage or certain aspects of endangered species and so forth, I'm not knowledgeable enough, but I do know what the date of October 15th means, and it's relatively soon after the start of the fiscal year. So if there's a way that we can borrow funds from possibly expansion or some other fund to do this work until the next fiscal year when we can repay it, or I would hope we could do this, because it looks to me like we have a almost an accidental window to do the work on the sewer bridge that is corrosion correction work and is necessary to the longevity of that asset as well. So I don't want to do anything that would jeopardize the window to fixing that.
Okay.
I agree with Director Hill on that. I think that if there's a way we could get both of these projects done as soon as possible, especially the digester one. I was out there today. Thank you for taking me. He showed me, Administrator Huebner showed me the digester, and it is definitely very much in need. And that's so I'd like to see that started as soon as possible, and also the sewer bridge.
Okay, so does someone want to?
You know, if you have a break in that line over the, then, you know, a stitch in time saves nine, and we need to fix these things before there's a major problem when you're dealing with fish and game. So however we can do them both, that would be the best thing I could see.
Someone want to fashion a motion?
So can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
Perhaps my suggestion, there's two alternatives you can do. One is when we can go forth here as recommended, but direct that you know, when the contract award for the sewer bridge comes forth, you know, we settle a specific date when they need to get that done. That's one option. The other option is we can look to take funds out of Fund 20 and fund the digester cleaning solely out of that, and just leave the sewer bridge project as a line item as it is. That may be the cleaner issue today. Either one, I think, will work. I mean, I'm certainly thrilled to move forward with projects. Love to see them completed. And the sewer bridge one is one that I, you know, inherited from the very beginning. And I'm also thrilled that we got the permitting done. And now the specs and bids are close. So I think there's again, two options for you. You can go with the staff recommendation but indicated in that motion you want to move it forward, and we can bring that contract, or the bid, as soon as it goes out to bid, and try and get an expedited date sooner than later.
Great. Thank you for those options. And so does any of the board members want to fashion a motion that we can maybe vote on?
In that, I think my preferred approach would be to use the funds from Fund 20. I would move that we adopt a staff recommendation here with funding to be provided from Fund 20, and not to impact the sewer bridge.
I'll second that.
Okay. So we, staff, you clear on that,
yes,
that motion? Okay.
Yes.
So there's a motion, there's a second. There's no additional discussion. Stu, roll call.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Chair Schultz?
Yes. Motion carries. Thank you. Let's move on to item 6D, which is rental of a dewatering centrifuge to assist with the district's digester cleaning and rehabilitation project. Mr. Huberner, you have the floor.
Thank you, Chair Schultz, board members, members of the audience. This is item 6D, proposed rental of a dewatering centrifuge to assist the district's digester cleaning and rehabilitation project. As I mentioned, this is a companion item. I have a short presentation for you. It's much shorter than the previous one. But as I mentioned, companion item to item 6C, as described, we need to clean out and do repair maintenance. During the period that Digester 1 is down for cleaning and maintenance, the district's wastewater treatment facility will be operating with the use of only one digester. That would be digester number 2. This will place additional demand on solids dewatering more than our current centrifuge can handle. I'm sorry. So, for example, our current centrifuge processes 30 gallons per minute of sludge. Estimations for solids dewatering during the period where Digester 1 is out of operation requires a centrifuge capable of processing sludge at a rate of greater than 90 gallons per minute. Thus, an additional temporary centrifuge is needed to accomplish the overall goal of cleaning out our digesters. To accomplish and successfully implement the digester cleaning and rehabilitation projects, the district staff solicited quotes from 3 different vendors. Operators and staff believe that a minimum of 6 months will be needed for renting this temporary centrifuge and complete our digester cleaning process. As part of the discussion, and again, this goes to quotes I mentioned earlier, you have to make sure that all factors being considered in evaluating each. So we looked at the monthly rental cost, the minimum time rental that must be made. So, for example, some may require a year versus 6 months, and certainly that goes into cost. Total rental cost over a six-month period. Transportation costs, so what does it take to bring it, set it up, and ultimately bring it back to wherever they brought it from. Any training costs, any deposit and additional charges. And then lastly, but maybe even most importantly, is availability. It doesn't help if you get a rental, but they don't have it for the period of time that we need to get this job done. So all quotes were based on a six-month period. As I mentioned, 3 were received. Pace DS provided an overall quote of $97,800. Petroleum Solids Control at roughly $114,000. Dolphin Services was the highest at $163,000. Each of the vendors has equipment ready to meet our needed startup timeline estimated between April 15th and May 1st. Some of the fiscal considerations, so the rental of the temporary digester and associated cleaning of the primary, as I mentioned before, was not identified as specific need or project, therefore was not included in your draft or adopted fiscal year budget. So I don't have a specific line item that I can access or utilize for this purpose. We do anticipate rental if, of course, you approve, consider and approve this item today. But we also note as that this will be a six-month time frame, and obviously even at May 1st will extend into next fiscal year. So got out the pencil, looked at our budget, looked at where we might have money within the existing budget blueprint, and identified at least four line items that we could access and utilize for to pay for the rental of this temporary centrifuge, including the ones that you see listed on the slide. If the board approves the staff recommendation today, additional funds would also need to support the additional 4 months of rental, and any additional months that go beyond that be included in the draft budget for fiscal year 2017 and 18. So I looked in the previous slide how much money at the approximate accrual rate that we would need. I think I placed utilizing $36,000 total from those schedule of items. That will get you the next fiscal year, but with the understanding that to make the entire $97,000, $98,000 total, additional money will need to be included in next year's draft budget. Noted, PACE provided the lowest overall price based on all the above listed factors. In addition, PACE has worked with the district in 2005, 2006, the last time primary digester number one was cleaned. They're familiar with our facility, and staff indicated their equipment worked well in that exercise. So our recommendation today is you consider and approve entering into a rental contract with PACE DS for a dewatering centrifuge for a minimum of 6 months, time period or longer, and that for the fiscal year we utilize $36,000 from Fund 19 and the schedule and include funds in next year's draft budget to support this rental. The reason why these actually, the rental would occur prior to even award of a contract for the dewatering is we would have to get started on this. We need the temporary rental out there sooner prior to the digester cleaning. As I mentioned, the digester cleaning project could be a 30-day exercise, but we need to have things that happen before and things that happen after, and that's the reason for the 6 months. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for that report. Any questions?
I don't have any questions.
Jim, any questions?
The two items that we're proposing to defer, signage and asphalt repair, are either of those industrial safety issues?
Asphalt repair, that would be essentially maintenance on any of our roads. So nothing has been come to my attention in terms of a need, in at least in the next couple months. And equipment rental is just something we have set aside really for something like this or others. So it seemed like a natural. Okay, and signage we essentially accomplished with our own staff with some simple paint, which was a great idea.
Okay. Yeah, that was my same concern, so thanks for that. Let me open this up to the public and see if there's anyone that would like to address the item before the board. Seeing no one come forward, I'll close and bring it back to the board.
I'll move that we enter a rental contract with PACE DS for a dewatering centrifuge for the minimum six-month time period, and that we use fiscal year 2016-17, $36,000 from Fund 19, as indicated in the staff report.
Did you say enter with PACE?
PACE DS.
Yeah.
I second that.
Okay. There's no additional discussion. Roll call.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Chair Scholes?
Yes. Okay. Motion carries. Let's move on to item 6E. This is the district administrators and plan operators report.
Okay. So this is item 6E. We have the staff report before you as part of the agenda packet, and we also have the one attachment, which is the Fish and Game letter of approval, essentially an op. They call it an op law letter. But let me just jump into the report and provide you with some highlights today. So we had already some discussion about our sewer bridge project. Yes, we have our permitting now secure. The bids and specs are close to being complete. I have talked with our engineer, Gary, engineer, and I've been coordinating that and moving them along so that this project can be completed. Really, it's come down to what the revised cost might be and what might be a starting date, appropriate date, knowing, of course, endangered species, birding issues, and so forth. So, grit removal, literally, we've now finished the last portions of that. Is operating very well. I did send the letter to the regional board with the invoices so that we would meet our obligations, that we've met all our obligations, and hope to get a letter from them confirming that. We also received the final record drawings. On our mechanical bar screen capital project, that is proceeding very well. In fact, this week, you'll see there's two change orders, and the change orders are necessary to accomplish what we need to get done on the headworks project. Specifically, there's a bypass piping that needs to be relocated for safety reasons and operational reasons. Everyone agreed it was a necessary component to install our headworks bar screens. So they have started that work this week and indicated that will be finished by the close of this week. They'll also be looking to relocate the power. There's a power electric control panel. Again, it's located down in the vault. Doesn't make a lot of sense with things that go down in that vault, so it's going to be located above grade. I've gotten word today that the equipment should be showing up the week of April 17th. Some news on our discussion on our redundancy project. We've been engaging Coastal Commission staff if they have a question regarding site plans. We've engaged them in real time, whether it's the project description, site plans, moving forward with looking to get support letters and things of that sort. All indications still that it will be tentatively heard at the May hearing down in San Diego. Regarding our financing for the redundancy project, we've been working with Bartle Wells and Associates. We hope to come at your next board meeting if I can get the package together, the financial package. They're also looking at our rates and how much money and various options for bonding or state revolving fund loan. And so that's coming, at least coming together nicely. And again, hope to bring that to your board at a future meeting, hopefully very, very soon, perhaps as early as the next meeting. Our recycling grant, I prompted state board staff in terms of their review. I did get comments back. Specifically, they needed a recommendation section. Tasked WS staff to do that. I'm waiting to see that section. I also conferred with AG staff in terms of their willingness or in terms of the comments. They concurred. With that section completed, we'll forward that to state board. He's already indicated that we can apply for 50% reimbursement and 100% once the final report is completed. Moving on to our district control building, we did have an architectural firm, a local one from AG, come out. And this was a recommendation, actually, of AG staff. He did come out. He's done his assessment. That occurred on March 27th. There are issues. He'll be producing a report, and that will be something in a future meeting that I'll be bringing back some of those recommendations. Regarding new capital projects, there was discussion at a past board meeting with the winter weather that we had I&I issues, increased flows to the plant. So we've initiated some discussions both with MKN as well as Ms. Sweeney in terms of how a study might be conducted. Our recommendation at this point is to do it in phases. Really to find out sources can be a very expensive proposition. Really you want to understand the flows and where they're coming from. And so you'll see in my report how we propose to do that. And in fact, we've embarked on getting some more flow meters to assist us with that effort. But that's a work in progress. Outreach initiative, I've included as a follow-up about the audio tapes. They were not migrated with the new website. Future efforts is we're looking to do a new edition of the newsletter, probably late summer, early fall, late spring, early summer, and this would be a focus. I would hope to be a focus on our projects, major projects. As you can see, we have quite a bit of them ongoing, some completed, and some will be completed in the near term. We, on records management, we hope to have our expert come out, scheduled to come out on the 18th, and we'll see what she comes up with. I've already shared the draft record retention policy that we've come up with her and hope to get her feedback in a short time. Our PPM has gotten a bit stalled at this point. We have finished it. We are waiting for a little bit of legal review, and then we're ready to share it with the SEI union and then have that discussion with them and their feedback and comments. Looking at our financial initiative, been very busy the last month, our audit. There are a few things that I've had to pick up and respond to our auditors in terms of letters, drafting, and there's still the fixed assets that was not completed, unfortunately. We also dealt with the special district financial transaction report. We avoided a delinquency. Again, that's something I picked up, and we were able to comply with prior to the deadline and avoided penalties as a result. There was also the SDMA questionnaire that we picked up and had to correct and resubmit due to some of the financial information not being correct. So we did complete that by the deadline of March 15th, and they're satisfied with our response. Related to the auditing report, we submitted our GASB 68 report to our auditors, and they seem to be satisfied at least with that submittal. Moving on finally to our regional collaboration, working closely with our member agencies and their staff in terms of looking at an EIR consultant firm, potentially participating. The district is joint with PISMO. So we had another round of interviews with the firm to solicit those services. And also what cost-sharing mechanism might be appropriate for the district to enter into with the city of PISMO Beach. So look for that to be moving forward in the next weeks, next couple months. I've listed a number of meetings of advisory groups where appropriate. Many of them wasn't able to attend to, but you see that they occurred and hope to be able to participate in some of them in the near future. On the last page of my report, moving on, the district brine disposal program. So there had been a question at the last board meeting about where we might be with that. As I mentioned before, we had a meeting with the regional board in February. They have asked for some changes. We're working on revising our brine disposal plan in ways we can accomplish perhaps the sampling in a different manner. And once that's completed, we'll engage regional board staff with a revised plan. And there was also a question about Cambria CSD. Our understanding is they don't plan to truck anything to our facility until at least September. Of course, that's out of our control, and that's just the understanding that I'm aware of. We have, of course, our plant operations report. You'll see the plant data, the monthly data for through March 28th. We've highlighted in green the average numbers, so we're within our effluent limitations as contained in our MPDS permit. We also listed the operation and maintenance projects that have been undertaken and completed over the occurring months, the past months. So those are listed there for you. I'm not going to read them out, read them directly to you. But if you have any questions, let us know. There's training that the staff undertook. Last page, again, you can read those for yourself. And then lastly, the call-outs, you can see there are quite a few of them. I mentioned this when we talked about our primary digester. You can see we got the alarms. The staff, various staff did respond to them, and those are listed for you there. So with that, I conclude this report, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you for that report. Let's see if there's any questions. Jim, do you have any questions?
I just noted that the plant data didn't include the prior years, which is useful for, you know, comparison benchmark purposes.
We did. That was a conscious decision. I actually conferred with Fanny about that, and it was in our opinion that we didn't see it as that useful, but certainly we can include it back in if that's the board's direction in a future report.
And then I just note I'm pleased to see at least some movement on the INI study. I think there's going to be a data collection opportunity starting Friday.
Okay.
I'll make just a quick note. I hope not. But, yeah, there may be an opportunity, but I hope not.
Okay. Jim, anything else? Okay. Linda?
I don't have anything. Thank you for the report. Okay.
Garrett, under the regional collaboration, you had talked about the ER firm and cost sharing. So maybe a little bit more on that. Is that the discussions with PISMO and the member, our member agencies? Mm-hmm. Staff involved with that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is there...
And then I had noticed that in my other capacity, I know that we were going down the road of putting together a letter of intent and was told to hold off on that. Do you have any further information on that?
So the original thought that each of the member agencies, including the Sand District, would do a letter of intent. And some of the entities, I believe the city of Rio Grande has done that. Grover, I think, had one, but it might be revised. Oceano had a similar platform, advocacy platform. And the question came to me whether that was appropriate letter of intent for the district. And my response is, well, if the district is going to the other letters of intent really don't provide or commit any finances. So our position would be different, and so I believe a letter of intent properly is not appropriate. That some other legal mechanism. Certainly we would want to, if the district is to commit at some cost-sharing formula, whatever that is, we certainly want our roles and responsibilities and the amount to be defined in some cost-sharing MOU or some other legal mechanism versus a letter of intent is really just saying it's just different.
Yeah.
It's more of a soft approach. So
okay.
That's,
yeah, and I'm
that's
glad,
a long explanation. But
no, it's fine because I guess I was wanted to just make sure as that discussion goes forward, obviously given that our three member agencies, Grover, Rio Grande, and Oceano are part of South Sand, mm-hmm. that we look at cost-sharing because we certainly don't want to be double paying for any efforts. So.
And in that sense, because we have the three member agencies that are part of the Sand District, essentially they are pre-committed or they're committing to a process and the support of the regional project. But if this board is going to fund a joint effort, then it's appropriately handled here with the support of the member agencies.
Okay, and then you had talked about the Coastal Commission potentially taking action. This is in regards to permitting for the redundancy project. And you said in May in San Diego, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Cautiously optimistic, so.
Yeah, I think that's been some good progress on that. So that's
yeah,
good
it's certainly we have a lot of work to do to still get there. We need everybody's support to do that. You know, dissension, distractions are not going to be productive in getting us there. So again, I'm looking for as much support as possible on that very, very important project.
Okay, very good. Thank you. So with that, let me open this up to the public and see if anyone has any comments on the district administrator and the plant operations report.
Good evening again, Julie Tacker, and I am interested in the migration of the audio tapes, that it didn't occur. I think that's obvious, and I would ask that you ask your staff to seek the tapes, get them from whatever hard drives or wherever they reside, and put them on the new website. That those tapes are board meetings back to, I think, 2010. So they're relevant to the Wallace investigation that's going on today. So to make them inaccessible, I think, is very untransparent, and it's a cry and shame, okay? So, Mayor Scholes, your comments about the cost sharing of the joint EIR with the City of Pismo Beach are also concerning to me. That letter of intent, I know in Arroyo Grande, Mayor Hill pulled the language out that there'd be any cost sharing with the sanitation district. Recycled water, you will never be a purveyor. Purveying recycled water is done by water purveyors. So I don't think you should pay for anything associated with recycling. That is the purveyor's job. So the cities and Oceano need to come up with whatever contribution. If any of the facilities at the sanitation district are needing upgrade to accept that new project, then that would be on your side, you know, if there's some sort of improvement. But this almost sounds, the way this reads, like it's already going to happen. And your board has certainly not had that discussion. And your cities and your services district need to step up and take that cost. With regard to Mr. Huebner's attending the conference in San Diego on March 19 through 21, you know, I was looking at his contract, and conferences are supposed to be approved on an annual basis, where he's going and where that money is spent. And if you want to look it up at another time, it's B(i)(6) of his contract. And I'm not sure that a water reuse conference, since you don't do water reuse and you're not going to do water reuse during the term of this contract with this administrator, that he should be going to these at your expense. The discussion about the Cambria brine, there was some discussion a few weeks ago about perhaps your limits may be changing from the regional board. I am interested in where that lies and what, you know, what kind of changes may be brought forth, and if the Cambria material would still meet those new limits. That's it for me.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else?
Well, as long as we live in California, which is technically a desert, and we're flushing out 5 million gallons of fresh water out into the ocean a day, we're in the water business. So I wanted to ask you, do we have any projects tied up with the Cigna funds? Was there discussions regarding a couple test wells that we intended and using under the flood control to the Northern Cities Management? Because I'm concerned about those projects, you know, since all that money, all the savings will be shipped into the North County to supplement vineyards. is it going to impact any of our NIR projects? And so that would be under the reclamation project. So that was my only question. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Patricia Price. I wanted to follow up on Julie's comment about the tapes not being made available. And I've mentioned that several times, and nothing has happened to bring them forth. Also, I've asked several times that on the South Sand website there be a link to slow spans so that the public can, when they go to the South Sand website, they can go directly to a video of the meetings, all of the South Sand meetings. I've been talking to a lot of different people, and they're very interested in the South Sand District right now. And I would like to be able to tell them they can go to the website and actually watch the meetings if they don't catch them live. It's, you know, make it easier. They can, I mean, I struggle and get the meetings eventually, but it takes me a while. And somebody who isn't involved and is not that familiar and does want to become educated, I think that that would be a real plus to be able to offer them. As soon as possible, I would like to be able to offer people that information. I'm talking to a lot of people. Thank you.
Thank you. Is anyone else? Seeing no one come forward, I'm going to close this to the public. Three questions real quick. Jim, let me do that. You heard there was a question regarding were there any projects tied up with the Cigna funds, and I think it was really some concern regarding a recent Board of Supervisors action regarding basin up in Paso, and so...
So the way I would probably answer that is it'll be a likely future discussion at the North City Management Group, the tech group that I participate when I can. There's an upcoming meeting. The way I would see that being impacting that is if there was money that was dedicated for the groundwater model that's being augmented by our SEP funds, that could be an issue. The county was going to provide some money for that through the flood control funding. And then, yes, there's test wells that would be proposed as part of that regional project. I don't know that that necessarily would be affected by the county's funding decision on Sigma, but those kind of discussions will likely occur, and I can report back to you at a future day.
Okay. Anything you can share regarding the audio tapes and the migration?
So the audio tapes are gone. They did not migrate over. There is no backup. There was a staff decision to not migrate those over. And when I talked to our website developer, he spent considerable time researching and seeing if we could access the old site. And so we cannot. And unfortunately, when I inquired whether we have tapes in the C-Train, we do not. So there's no ability to retrieve those audio tapes.
Is there, does AGP have do they keep tapes? Do we know?
So these would precede the videotapes, the AGP videotapes and the contracts that we had on those. I will offer that our current retention policy says that the auto tapes only need to be retained 90 days.
Okay. And I think there was a request for a link to slow span.
So we investigated that as part of the website development. That's a very costly feature. We could not have brought in for the price that we did in terms of the website that we have. If the board wishes to have that feature, we can investigate that with our current website developer and bring you back a cost in terms of what that service provides. Certainly... There can be a web link, but actually being able to do it on our website is a different matter.
Okay.
And a costly feature, according to the information that I received.
Very good. Jim, you said you had something?
I wanted to follow up on the idea of a link.
just a, I don't know that a reference link would be all that expensive, but I'd be interested in, you know, what the cost would be, and okay. We could make a decision on whether that was worth engaging in or not. The tapes were on some kind of a computer server. There are ways that computer experts have of recovering data, and I would like to get an independent assessment of the potential of recovering those tapes. And you know, looking into bringing those back. If you just push delete on something, they may appear to be gone, but in fact are not. And I think due to the historical nature of that, the fact that they precede AGP, that it would be worthwhile to endeavor to recover those.
Okay.
Is this a computer that's still in operation? Is the computer
so
still there?
They were housed under the host Gator, or the website provider that we previously have. They took that after 30 days. They took that site down. So our website developer, again, did forensics, tried diligently to get that back for us. And, I mean, I can get a statement from him, or he can come. He's offered to come and talk about what occurred. But his indication to me is they don't exist because they were tied to the old website, and that old website is no longer available.
Okay. So, Jim,
I would like to hear from that and inquire as to whether on that former host server, if there was a way to recover that data. It may not be. If we've terminated a contract with someone, we may not have a way of recovering that without a business relationship in process, but that may be worth investigating.
Okay, so that's basically the tape, and then I think we talked about the links to SlowSpan, so for video of the meeting, so I think that's something we can also, I would agree with maybe looking into that as well.
Yeah.
Good.
So, just for my own clarification, certainly we'll look at the cost of the link, which likely, and are you also interested in looking at the cost of actually having the streaming from our website? No, just the link.
Yeah.
Okay. And then second, in terms of the audio tapes, is what's the board's direction in terms of that, in looking at the prior website and whether the recovery?
Yeah, I think we're in agreement. Let's take a look at that, and if they're not recoverable, let's get a letter.
Okay.
Documentation on that. Okay.
And if they are, how we might go about recovering them.
Okay.
Agreed.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to move on. We do have closed session tonight. There are two items, and legal counsel, can you cover those items, please?
Thank you, Chairman Schultz. The board will hold a closed session to discuss two items. The first is conference with labor negotiators, employee organization, SEIU Local 620, non-represented management, and non-represented employees. The second matter is conference with legal counsel, anticipated litigation, two potential matters. Thank you.
Very good. Is there anyone that would like to address closed session before the board tonight?
Debbie Peterson, I live in Grover Beach. Just one question. Which member of staff took the choice to delete those recordings?
Is there anyone else to comment on closed session, please?
Hello, I am Terry Clare, an Oceano ratepayer. Sometimes you win and sometimes you learn. As a district, we learned the hard way about not being actively involved during the Wallace years. But then in 2013, we saw a positive change. The district was winning. There was strong leadership. Significant savings were being realized by using less consultants and staff receiving more training. Since John Clemens came on board, the district expenses were reduced by $1.9 million for the first year, and savings continued for the next 2 years. The plant was thriving, and even the board seemed cohesive and pleased with the success. A year ago in April, things changed. Consultant fees dramatically increased, and multiple grievances were filed. The board meetings became embarrassingly filled with personal attacks. The Knutson Review asked two questions of the board. The first was about the redundancy project, which is still not permitted, and the second is this. Did the board of directors manage the district administrator? For many years, we ratepayers trusted the board to protect our interests. We were wrong to be complacent and not be more active. We will not let history repeat itself. Therefore, we are meeting in neighborhood groups and gathering support. We elected you to select and manage an administrator, and now it seems he is managing you. Please, please take an objective look at the unnecessary money pouring out of the plant for consultants, legal fees, human resources, computer support, etc., and try to see it like your public sees it. We will not go away or remain silent as we did during the Wallace years. Since some sanitation board meetings have been canceled, we may be even more effective if we as a group begin to attend your city meetings to get the attention of your council and your public. Ultimately, you are the boss here and the only ones who can bring about the change. We are your public. We had your signs in our yard. We urged our friends and neighbors to vote for you, and we put our confidence in you to make good decisions for us, your ratepayers. Ultimately, you are the boss and the only ones who can turn this disaster around. We urge you tonight to bring the plant superintendent back and solve this administrative nightmare. Thank you.
Is there anyone else that have comments on closed session?
Julie Tacker again, and that was a very eloquent speech. What occurs to me is that, and I did learn this through the emails that Mr. Hill and Mr. Huebner were having, discussing a mediator some months ago. So imagine the community's surprise when two key employees are put on paid administrative leave. When you've engaged a mediator, you should be getting over the hump, getting through whatever the problem is. My recommendation to your board tonight is, from this meeting forward, for however long it takes, every 2 weeks, you have a performance review of your administrator, and you work with him, hold his hand if necessary, to get over this mess. There are too many people's lives hanging in the balance. That whole staff has to be fearful for their jobs, for their livelihoods, for their families. Do whatever it takes to get this administrator either on track or out of here.
Is there anyone else? Seeing no one come forward, I'm going to close this, and we are going to recess in the closed session.